Well, thank you, Emma and Nigel, for worship. Once again, welcome, church. We're going to take communion this morning together. And the good thing is, if you're not prepared, all you have to do is simply press the pause button. Don't get too used to it, because when we meet together, that won't be available. So we're going to take communion. The simple truth is that it's best to do this when we're together. But since we can't be together, let's do this individually with those that are in the house with us, that those can be part of it. But God knows our heart, doesn't he? On the day that he was betrayed, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." And this is what we do as Christians, church, as a remembrance of what Jesus did for us. He broke his body. He suffered on a cross so that we could find redemption through the shedding of his blood. He also took the cup and he said, "Drink this, my blood that's shed for you." The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So it's important to recognize the symbolism behind this, the significance that when we take communion, we are asked to remember what Jesus did for me and for you. Well, if you press the pause button, hopefully you're back now. You've already had communion. I'm still swallowing mine. Yes, this is tar. I do shower in between Sundays. It's not one Sunday meeting. If you've noticed that, I had black marks on me. We are looking through God's word. Over the months and probably the years in Grace Church, we've been speaking about the suddenlies in life, haven't we? And maybe it's only now that it's making sense to you, that what happens when the suddenly creep up. Well, a month or 6 weeks ago, there was a suddenly that crept up. But I hope it didn't creep up on you as much as maybe your neighbour. And then we've been looking at anchors in the storms of life. How we stay secure when all around us seems to be in turmoil. See, God's word is the same yesterday, today and forever. So this is not just a weak word. It's not just milky. It's actually meat. Because Christ is enough. Today, if I was to have a title, it's to break up the hard ground. And we're going to take a portion of scripture from Hosea 10, starting at verse 11. And when you start to read this book, when you look at the words of this prophet, when you see the relationship between Hosea and God, the Creator, you can see that there's a love story here. There's a story where of a young man and a young woman. There's a story of betrayal. There's a story of redemption. It's a picture of the church. It's a picture of God's covenantal relationship with us, the church, his bride. So it's a wonderful book to read. So rather than just listen to these one or two portions of scripture, read the whole book and get the essence of what God has said then to his people and what he's saying to you and me now through his word. In Hosea 10, starting at verse 11, Ephraim is a trained heifer, loves to thresh. So I will put a yoke on her. I will put a yoke on her fair neck. I will drive Ephraim. Judea must plough, and Jacob must break up the ground. Verse 12 says, "Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unploughed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you." Many times you'll see that Hosea uses the picture here of the relationship between God and his people and man and wife. And you'll see many times that he uses the illustration of sowing and reaping. And here in this picture we have the illustration of the hard ground. And the hard ground represents the heart of God's people. And what God is saying here is, it's time to break up the unploughed ground. When we think about unploughed ground, it's ground that hasn't been turned over. It's ground that hasn't been broken up. It's ground that has become hard because the sun has baked it. The rain cannot penetrate it until It's been tilled until the plough has gone in and it's turned over. And it's at that point that the ground is ready to receive seed, that you can sow seed in that softened ground and it will produce a harvest. But if you was to throw your seed, naturally speaking, on hard ground, it'd be very, very difficult for that seed to germinate, and it would just wash into the byways and the highways, the edges of the field. It would just wash and maybe rot where it is rather than germinate. So I want to encourage us today. I want us to look at the whole ethos, if you like, if that's the right word, the whole premise, the whole relationship between us and God, your relationship, your personal relationship between God and his word. First thing I'd like to say to you and to myself is there any hard ground that needs to be ploughed? And when we think about the hard ground in these portions of scripture, the hard ground represents sin in the life of the Israelites, in the life of those that God has a covenantal relationship with. In Jeremiah 31 verse 18 it says, "I have surely heard Ephraim's mourning. You disciplined me like an unruly calf, and I have been disciplined. Restore me, and I will return, because you are the Lord my God." Restore me. There's a story here of redemption. Yes, God is a jealous God. Yes, there are areas where there are people in life, and we look at wisdom, and we can look at wisdom in two ways. And we'll get on to a word about wisdom later on in these scriptures. But there are some people that purely live by the law and they don't experience the grace of God. And there are many people that live by the grace and they don't experience the rule of God. So we need the rule of God, we need the discipline of God, and we need the grace of God. And when we look through the story of Hosea, we look at that story where he said, "Take Gomer as your wife, but she will be an adulteress. She will go wayward," as the Bible puts it. "She will stray. She will give her love to another man or to several men." And as I said, it's a picture of the church in relationship with God, as it is man in relationship with woman. But the wonderful thing about this story is that although God knew that she would be wayward, he also knew that she would be restored. The same as me and you. If we have hard hearts, God wants to bring about a restoration. "Restore me and I will return, because you are the Lord my God." And if that's true for you, if God is your Lord, if he is your Saviour, then it doesn't matter if there are hard areas in your life, and only you know the answer to that question. If there are things that cause you to sin, if there's things that God reminds you, then you can allow the watering of his word to soften that ground, to plough it afresh, that you may return to him. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of power. It's a story of love. So let's plough up the hard ground in our lives. Proverbs 11, verse 18. "A wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Truly," in verse 19, "the righteous attain life, but whoever pursues evil finds death." There is an opportunity here. And when we think that when we think about that word, you reap what you sow, normally it's in a negative form, isn't it? You reap what you sow, and people are using that negatively. But in this portion of scripture, we can use it negatively and we can use it positively. It says, "A wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Truly the righteous attain life, but whoever pursues evil finds death." When we go back to Hosea, that prophet, when we go back to what God was saying to his people, yes, he knows that there was hard ground. Yes, he knows that there was sin in their lives, but he also had a journey for them of redemption. It's the same for me and you. So we do reap what we sow, but there is an opportunity to sow righteousness even in the hard areas of our life. So why do I bring this to us as a church today. I bring it because God's word is enough. And it's God's word that will keep us safe and secure. It's God's word that will encourage us when we're discouraged. It's God's word that will lift our head up when our heads are down. It's God's word that is truth. And remember what I said a while ago? The more of the truth of God's word that we know, the more freedom that we'll have. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we're going to continue to look through some scripture that I've put together. And hopefully you'll see the joined up thinking in this. You'll see what God is saying to us through these portions of scripture. In James 3, verse 18, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So as Hosea indicates about the sowing and the reaping, the hard ground and the soft ground, the redemption, the sin that's forgiven and God restores. If we look up at verse 16, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. See, there's a choice here. There may be hard areas in your life, as there are hard areas in my life, that God is highlighting to me, and he's encouraging me this week to plow up those hard areas, to allow the soil of the hardness of my life to be turned over. And soil, hardness, can represent sin. So if there's sin in your life and sin in my life, then the story that God shows us in Hosea is that even though we may be adulterous, even may we may serve other gods, we may not realize that we're serving the god of mammon. We may not realize that we're serving the god of self. We may not realize that we're serving the god of finances. We're serving the god of admiration. We're serving the god of envy and strife and the god of unforgiveness. We may not realize that, but if there is any hardness in your life today, then let God's word and the water of his truth and the seed that he wants to sow into your life today produce righteousness. It's time to plow the hard ground. It's time to seek the face of the Lord. In Jeremiah 4, verse 3, this is what the Lord says to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Break up your unplowed ground. Do not sow among thorns. And the picture here is the hard ground, is the hardness of God's people's hearts. They've hardened their hearts towards God. They've been adulterous in the sense that they've chased after other gods. They've worshipped other gods. And God's calling them back. It says, do not sow amongst thorns. And when we look at that whole picture of thorns, it's do not sow where the sinners go. Do not allow the seed that God gives you to be planted in amongst sinful nature. And God has encouraged us, I believe, and he's also challenging us, because God disciplines the ones he loves. And this is a good message. It's a good message because it's God's word. God's word brings revelation. It brings restoration. It brings growth. It brings grace. It brings purpose. God's word is for you and for me so that we can grow in our faith, mature in our faith, attaining the full measure of the goodness of God's grace. Amen? Amen. In Hosea 12, verse 6, it says this, but you must return to your God, maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always. Here's a message here for returning. And there are times that people will listen to a message and they'll know that they've gone after other gods. They'll know that they're not serving God the way that they know they ought to. And it's not about anybody pointing a finger and saying, you should be doing this and you're not doing this. It's about God's spirit convicting us. But God's word says simply, return, return. You know, when we use the word to repent, it's to turn from our way and turn to Yahweh, turn to his way. It's to live life his way, not our own way. So the reason this is important for us at this time is that, like the psalmist, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, so that the enemy can't get a foothold. That's why we're to keep short accounts with each other, but more importantly, short accounts with God. So if there's a circumstance or a situation that's caused your heart to harden this week, it's time to plough the ground. It's time to give it to the Lord. It's time to see what he can do. It's time, should I say, to sow righteousness, right standing with God. In Matthew 13, verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. And many of you, if you've been in church long enough, you would have heard this message time after time after time. It's the parable of the sower and the seeds. In verse 18, it says, listen then, Jesus is explaining to those that are listening, his disciples. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. Let's read that parable. Let's go up a few verses. Verse 3, Matthew 13. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow seed. Remember in the story of Hosea, he used the illustration of the day. He used illustrations of sowing righteousness, hard ground, cultivating, covenant. He told them many things in parables, that's stories, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. First one, path. Birds ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Rocky places. Other seed fell amongst thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. When we break up the hard ground, it's ground that's laid fallow maybe for a time, maybe for days, maybe for weeks, maybe for years. Areas of our life that we've said, God, you can come in this far, but don't touch that. Lord, you can come and work on my finances, but don't touch my health. Lord, you can come and work on my health, but don't touch my finances. Lord, you can work in my life, but don't ask me to forgive. Lord, you can speak into my life. You can use me, Father God. I'll do whatever you ask me to do, but don't ask me to give up that part of my life. Well, that's hard ground. That's hard ground where God's word cannot be germinated. It's time to plough that ground so that you may receive a harvest of what? Righteousness. Correct. So, looking at the portion of scripture in Matthew 13, 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and he does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, that which was sown in their heart. This is the seed that's sown along the path. If you imagine a pathway is hard, it wouldn't be concrete in them days, wouldn't it? It'd just be well trodden. So when the seed was sown on that pathway where people had walked and trodden for year after year, it compacted, became rocky, it became unusable. When the seed fell on that part of the soil, the birds of the air came and just took it away. And that's what happens if we don't break up the unplowed ground. If we don't cultivate that hard area of our life, the devil will just come and take the goodness that God has for you. And that's the thing, church. God has good seed for you, and the devil comes and just takes it. Let's not give it to him. Let's plow up that ground. Let's see the germination of God's goodness. Seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, it only lasts a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Rocky places. One of the differences between good soil and bad soil are stones and rocks. And what happens is if a seed falls between the crevices of a rock, then if there's rock upon rock and just a small amount of soil, then the roots will be very shallow and they won't be able to grow. So let's remove the hard areas, the rocks in our lives. Seed falling amongst the thorns. And that's really the one that I want us to concentrate on today. To reference what God says in his word in Hosea, do not sow amongst the thorns. Jeremiah talks about it in Jeremiah 4:3. Do not sow amongst thorns. Do not allow sinfulness to harden your heart. Seed falling amongst thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it. And the word chokes the word, making it unfruitful. So the word has the potential for fruitfulness. And it's worry and cares and disobedience and hardness that stops the unfruitfulness. That's why it's an important message, I believe, for us to break up the hard areas. If you don't have any hard areas that need breaking up, I'm sure God will reveal that to you. If you don't have any hard areas, then pray for others. Pray that God will cultivate their lives, that God will remove the hardness, that they may receive the goodness, the blessing, the righteousness from God. But the seed falling upon the soil, the good soil, refers to someone who hears the word, understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, 30 times that what was sown. Is that what you want to be? That's what I want to be. I want to be a 30 or a 60 or a 100 yielding, fruitful Christian. I want God's word to fall on good soil. Where there's thorns and where there's thistles, there's a potential for growth because they grow in that area. Where thorns represent sin and sinfulness and hardness, as we break up that ground that's not been cultivated for many years or many days or many weeks or even many hours, as we cultivate that hardness and we remove the sin by repentance, then when God's word comes into our lives afresh, like this morning, it will germinate and it will produce a harvest. It'll produce a harvest for you and it'll produce a harvest for others, because Christ in you is the hope of glory. And God's hope is not just for you, it's for those that you pray for. So this word is a word that hopefully will challenge you and encourage you to ask God to reveal any hardness in your heart, that you may plow up that field, you may break that ground, you may repent of that sin and you may be fruitful. How about when we return to fellowship, we see an increase because of your prayers, because of what God will trust you with, because you've asked him to plow up and break that ground. You've asked him to sow righteousness into your life afresh, that you may yield a harvest. In Philippians 1 verse 9, it says this, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. And that is a prayer that we can pray for one another. We pray for one another that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Just as we read in Hosea, where there was a love relationship between a man and a woman, and the woman in this instance became adulterous. She went after other men. Picture of God's nation, God's people, God's children went astray and worshipped other gods. And then we have the redemption of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, where he says, go back and commit yourself to your wife again. Restore her as I will restore my people. Break up the ground. The prayer that we can pray for one another and those around us is that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. How can we be pure and blameless? By being repentant, by saying, God, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Lord, show me any hardness in my life. Help me to break up that ground, that the seed, the word of your goodness may germinate and produce a good harvest of righteousness, filled with the fruit of righteousness, it says in 11. So let me read 10 again. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's a prayer. That's what happens when we break up ground. I want to leave you with this final thought. We talk about, or I've spoken about hard ground, I've spoken about thorny ground, I've spoken about sin, I've spoken about redemption, I've spoken about grace, God's goodness, God's covenant to his people, he'll never leave us or forsake us. The wisdom that comes from God's word, or the wisdom that comes from the world, God wants us to be a discerning people. So when we break up this ground, how do we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because if we go back to the portion of scripture that I started with in Hosea, let me read it again. Hosea 10 verse 11. Ephraim is like a trained heifer that loves to thresh. It has the freedom to thresh. God's people have the freedom to eat of the corn, to eat of the goodness of what God provides for us. So I will put a yoke on her fair neck. And remember what God says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And that is true for you, God's people. I will drive Ephraim. Judah must plow and Jacob must break up the ground. Verse 12 says, sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground. And next it tells us how to do it. For it is time, it says, to seek the Lord until he comes and show us his righteousness on you. So we break up our unplowed ground by seeking God. As we seek God, God will reveal to us the areas in our lives that we need to concentrate on. You see, if you're a farmer and you know that you've already plowed the field on the left, but you haven't plowed the field on the right, you know you have to plow the field on the right. But if you have many fields as a farmer, there may be a small patch of land somewhere around a post or a pond or a hard-reaching area to get that you just don't bother to plow. You just leave it to its own devices. And it's like wearing, bear with me, church, like wearing a three-piece suit and having water boots on. The suit is good, it's pressed, it's clean, but the boots aren't. And nobody will look at the suit, they'll always look at the boots. And that's what happens in the life of a Christian. There's many good things that we do, but we mess up once and people judge us on that one thing we mess up for, don't they? Or is that just me? There can be 10 positive things spoken into your life, but the one negative is the one that you concentrate on. So the majority of our field may be well cultivated, but there may be a small patch in the corner somewhere, round a post, hidden up in a corner hard to get, that's not been cultivated for many years. Let's seek God and ask him to reveal that. And the reason I ask you to do that is so that you can be more fruitful. That's the reason for ploughing the ground, so that when God sows his seed, it falls on the good soil. The good soil is the soil that has no thorns, no sin. It's been cultivated, it's been turned over. It's allowed the Spirit of God to breathe upon it. The water of God's word to saturate it. The warmth of God's light to penetrate upon it. And allow that seed, once it's sown, once God speaks, that seed goes into our heart where it's clean and it produces a harvest of righteousness, a right standing with him. I trust that you will have got something out of this message, church. As we say, be blessed. That's right. And be a blessing.